I hereby introduce to you, Mr. Michael Veazey.
Hey, 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 welcome to Amazing FBA, the place to be for UK-based Amazon entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Michael Veazey. Welcome to the show. Hey, Amazing FBAers. This episode is brought to you by Amazing FBA again, and this time by the Private Label Course, written by myself and working with my business partner, Rob Sleeth, and various other people behind the scenes as well. So this course, like every other course, promises to get you launched with a private label product within about 6 months. Now, that's actually slower than a lot of courses promise. And of course, you can go faster if you take big risks and happen to be lucky, you can even possibly succeed as well. So why on earth should you bother with this one instead of another one, or, you know, as well as if you've already bought something? Well, here's the simple thing. My overwhelming experience of 2 years now of very, very hands-on one-to-one mentoring and working masterminds with some people who've succeeded very, very well indeed, and some people who have done almost nothing despite me working incredibly hard and giving them incredible information. The difference is that some people are driven by fear, and I can't really help those people because they will always consume things and do nothing or not even consume things. But there is a set of people that, while there's an extraordinarily tiny percentage of people that will always succeed because they have almost no fear and they are very courageous, and that's the exceptional type of person, it would be remiss of me to create a course that only works for that person. What I think our course works for is the people who have a certain amount of fear and a lack of experience, but who are willing to have the discipline and the commitment to create their own business. And for you, if that's you, this course is made for you. And here's why: because you learn by doing, and because we create a structure of learning things that minimizes the risk so that you don't have to go out and spend crazy amounts of money in one go just because some guy like me on a video has said so. You can spend a small amount of money, maybe £100, £200 initially, just to get a few products out there on a purely retail arbitrage basis. There's not a retail arbitrage course, but it's the way to learn the skills. And then the next stage, rather than going straight into private labeling and putting down £2,000, £3,000, £4,000, £5,000 in one go for an order, we're going to spend a few $100 on a non-private label generic type product. Why would we do that? Because we want to test the market. We want to get some proof of how to do it. We want to go through the motions of importing or exporting, depending on where you're selling, as risk-free as possible. And you learn by doing. I'm an absolute believer in that. The other thing about the course is structured such that you don't have to learn everything and then go and take action. You learn a bit, you take action, you learn from that, you come back, you learn more from the videos, you go away, you take action, and you learn. So that is the difference, I believe, between how we work. It's baked into our philosophy. It's not just the course structure, but it is baked into the course structure as well. So just in time learning and learning by doing, those are the two principles that guide things. And I think that although for me they are common sense, it's not common in the internet marketing space, and it's not common in the Amazon training space. So that is what we have to offer that is different. If you're interested in that, you're in luck, because the course will be launched properly in September for about $495, so around the sort of £350 mark. But we are going to do a beta launch for a handful of people, up to 10 people maximum, between about the 20th of July and the earliest part of August, about 10th of August. And either 10 people or the 10th of August, whichever comes first, we will stop that offer at that point. And that's going to be half price. Not only half price, but you will get to work with myself and my business partner, Rob Sleeth, on any gaps that you find in the information and that you think that you need to know. If we believe that you're right, we will create a video pretty much on the spot for you and add that to the course and any other resources needed as well, a PDF, a downloadable checklist, a spreadsheet, whatever it is. Also, if you feel that a video or a PDF or whatever is unclear, we will clarify that for you as well. So there's a great deal to play for. Sorry to talk for a long time, but if that does interest you, just email michael@amazingfba.com, and in the subject line, just write interested or something like that in the Amazing FBA private label course. And if we have more than 10 applicants, which I think is quite likely, given the interest that I've had from many, many people in the circle of mentor clients and mastermind members, not without even talking about the wider community of people I connect with, it's quite likely that we may have to ask you to justify being one of the first 10. What we're looking for is a killer success story. So we will work incredibly hard to help you be successful, because it's in our interests as well as yours. So if that interests you at all, michael@amazingfba.com. And then in the subject line, just put Amazing FBA Private Label Course. Thank you very much for listening to what's a rather long pre-roll. Thank you for your patience. Now on with the show. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Amazing FBA. Today, I'm in the middle of a very interesting discussion indeed with Nadine Aisha of Enidar, who is an expert in outsourcing customer service, particularly for German, for English people or Americans who need somebody to do customer service in German. But Nadine's expertise goes way deeper than that, having spent a lot of time running a virtual team. And we've been talking about how to find people, and we're beginning to look, Nadine, at how to communicate with people. But basically, we're going to really, really focus now on assuming you've got a team. How do you keep people? How do you grow it? How do you make it a better, more functioning team? So one key question that you raised with me when we were discussing this episode is, how do you know that somebody's actually doing the work you've set? Which is a very, very good point and a very difficult one that people often find problematic. So how do you deal with that?
Okay, so the first thing, you know, that I do is we have two project management systems. I have one for my Filipino girl that I work with because she doesn't really do customer service. She helps me with all other tasks, and we use Asana, and I think Asana is like key. That's amazing. It's free. And you can schedule things that have to be done every day. And you can look at the calendar and put on tasks for a day. And then you can see whether the person did that task, or, you know, completed it, or if they didn't. And I always find that extremely helpful because I work with this tool a lot. And then I can see it pop up that it goes, okay, she completed that. She just completed that. And I need people who are reliable enough to log into this tool every day, because I can add specific tasks to her list on the same day. And I know she looks at it twice a day, once when I'm asleep, and then up, you know, like I think around this time now, like noon in Germany. And then I know that until that point, I can still add a task for today, which is not super heavy, right? And then I can expect her to do it if it's a small thing. If it's a bigger thing, I can also put like due dates and estimated time. So like if you need more than 2 hours on this, please get in touch, because reasons, right? I don't want you to spend like 8 hours on it, because people go overboard if you don't give them specific tasks. I have come to, you know, be very good at that over the years, that I give them very specific, you know, task descriptions, because I make videos and everything. But that's the whole thing. But Asana, project management systems, Skype, keep in touch. When you have like a full-time employee and you can't live without, you know, like the control that they are actually there, then have them tell you, I log in now. Now I'm going to lunch. Now I'm coming back. But I don't encourage you to do that, because I'm all about trust. And if they work at night, so be it. I don't really care.
If they get things up. That control thing is probably, I mean, to be fair, there might be some people out there who are that controlling. I think the opposite of not communicating enough is probably the case. I was listening to a podcast, his name escapes me, and if we get that details, I'll put it in the show notes, which will be, by the way, at amazingfba.com/Nadine E, so Nadinee. Two E's, folks, just to confuse it. But I'm sticking with the principle that we have the first name and then the abbreviation for the last name, the initial. So these people going, basically, nearly everyone under-communicates with virtual workers. There are probably the odd person who would try and be ridiculously control freaky, but most of us under-communicate. So checking in with somebody and making sure that you are really communicating. We talked about before in the previous episode. Yes. Very, very important. So tell me a bit more about a couple of things you mentioned. First of all, give people a specific task and make sure it doesn't go over the top and become, you know, hours and hours and hours of work. How do you do that specifically?
Okay. So the first thing, I have like a template. For example, Google Drive, where the things, you know, everything that they'll be needing would be, or a link that they need. Then also SOP, for example, I record all of my videos with Screencastify. It's a free tool for Chrome that you can do like screencasts with. And I absolutely adore this, because people, as I said before, are visual and they need to see stuff. And it's so much quicker instead of, you know, writing down all the things you want them to do and that they miss something and blah. And also set them up for success. For example, if you ask them to go through a blog, you know, like Google's researching blogs, I would be like, okay, this is the website, this is the contact, this is the first name, and these are notes, you know, like make columns, for example. And then they could easily know, okay, this is what I'm going to do, because all these columns have to be filled in, duh, right? So it's really, really important. And these are like the little things. Don't let them do their own mess, and you're like, okay, I didn't really need that. So they spend time on something, and you are paying for it that you don't need.
I think that's a very important point that very, very often, and I've worked with a lot of people that have hired people and gone wrong with it, and other people who've hired people and found them amazing. And the difference often is not the people they've hired. It's not even the quality of the hiring process, which we talked about in the first episode. And if you haven't heard that, folks, very much the other side of the same coin. Obviously, you've got to get good people in the first place and people who are right for you. So go to amazingfba.com/Nadine, NADINEE. So that's important. But once you've got them, it's how clearly you communicate. In my experience of people that get bad results from VAs is because they are very unclear in what they ask for, but they still have high expectations of the result, which obviously is a bad match. So how do you... You've told us some of the equation. What do you think are the basic two or three principles for writing a good quality task, outsourcing task?
Mm-hmm. Okay, first thing, structure. It has to be, you know, make things bold, make things really easily, you know, like that you can read them on the first side, you can see what this is about. Don't confuse people. Keep it as short as possible. You know, don't go out, like, write a blog post. But also, you know, what I do, I write a lot. So I write, and then I read it again, and I take everything out that's unnecessary. And sometimes, I'm left with 50% of what I wrote initially. And so I kind of give them the gist of what I need. Then make sure that all the program accesses and everything are valid and that, you know, they have the passwords that they will need. And so they have all the information at hand. And then the third thing is make a video. Make a video just really quick if they haven't done it before, especially then. So they hear your voice, see what you mean, how you want it to be done. Also do it like, do the first thing yourself so they can go back and look at it all over again. For example, uploading a listing. This is how, you know, I have like Asana tasks as templates with the SOP of how to upload a listing, how to put in the bullet points, how to do HTML, you know, for the product description, if you want that, all these things. So it's very easily accessible. Yeah.
Actually, this is basically, for what it's worth, Nadine, this is a course if you really go for it, but this is at the very least a massive blog post and an interview outline, because this is so good. How do you write a clear outsource task? I've got five basic things to feedback. So the first is bold and clear, make sure you can read it at first sight, which is kind of obvious, but most of us fail at that, and I certainly do. I write too much stuff. Make it as short as possible, so write a lot and then cut it by 50%. That's brilliant. Make sure the passwords are valid. It sounds really obvious, but I'm always getting people writing back to me and saying, Mike, I can't log into that thing. I'm like, God, all right. Well, look, I'm out of the house now with my wife. I'll get back to you tomorrow. That slows things down by 24 hours, and that's my fault, not theirs. Make a video, especially if you haven't done it before. Which sounds obvious, but again, a lot of the time I get lazy with that. And I use Screencastify a lot. So I'm with you on Screencastify. Yeah, it's a fantastic tool. Free for up to 50 videos a month. Maximum length 10 minutes per video, I think, which is more than you should be giving people anyway. C.1. And then the other one is an Asana task with SOP, which is, in other words, a standard operating procedure, how you do it properly. So there's multiple ways in which that's good. And that's really brilliant advice. And so again, folks, if you want a clearly written list of that, get over to the show notes at amazingfba.com/Nadine, and that will be all there. So that's really, really great stuff. I'm beginning to see why you have such a good team.
Thank you. But one more thing. If you, okay, So let's say you have a decent sized team. First of all, LastPass, please, I beg you. Okay, so you can just share the passwords and the links and everything, and you are, you know, you save a lot of time. Then Google Sites, my dear. Google Sites is a free tool that looks like, you know, Wikipedia. And what I do, I don't actually write out the entire task. If it's a standard task that will be happening more often in the future, I will write a standard procedure in Google Drive, a Google Sites, and also upload the video to Google Drive and link it to that. And then I have my Asana task that is like a template with a link to that Google site that I always can, you know, I can always replicate. So I'd go like, for example, uploading a listing, right? Google site, it says how to upload a listing. Then I have the video and there I explain it once. So I sat down on a Sunday, explained it once, upload it to Google Drive, put it into Google site. Then, you know, there's everything you have to look out for, like little snippets about categories and what not to do, blah, blah, blah. And then I go back to Asana and I make myself like a template, and it says how to upload. That's the template, and then SOP link. And then you can, instead of, you know, you can just copy that link, that task, and write down, for example, spoon, and then you link to, you know, have like the Google Drive link to all the information, like the listing that has to be uploaded, as well as the SOP, which is always going to be there because you already did it. This is my kind of obsessive organization thing, but
it's great.
It saves so much time.
I love it. I think it's fantastic. And you're really echoing a lot of stuff that my business partner has been saying, which is the whole thing of using Google Sites, which is not a well-known tool actually for some reason. He's a big person on Google. I mean, he's got a very strong web development background, so really understands Google very well as part of that. And Gmail itself, you can do all sorts of other things, which I'm not going to get into here. But yeah, Google Sites is one of the underused tools. Again, as I understand it, free. And yeah, you can basically create your own kind of video course, which is having been creating a video course recently, which is going to be launched, by the way, in late July. So if you're listening to this and you want to, you know, to follow more of the amazing FBA philosophy to the point of actually having a structured course, I'm doing that. But actually, what you're saying, Nadine, is very similar, but you're doing it for your own company. But in the end, you've got a very clearly fixed, repeatable asset. Yeah, and you work once, get paid multiple times, because you work once and you can send multiple people back to that multiple times to create multiple listings or whatever. And that's smart, because otherwise you just find yourself reinventing the wheel the whole time. And that's one reason why I've created an Amazon course, because with my mentor clients the last couple of years, I just found myself saying the same things again and again. I'm like, this is not an effective way of using my time to help my clients. I need to say, look at this video, then come back to me with questions about the stuff that you can't already see. And then I'm helping them with a bit that can't be communicated like that.
Yes, exactly. At Anita, we have an Anita Academy where I did that with Olga, the first girl that was on my team. So she's still the one in charge of, you know, the whole mentoring, tutoring stuff, to help our girls find their way in the Amazon business. But it's basically, you know, it used to be like a 70-page Google Docs about how to do customer service, how to do all that jazz. And we broke it up into a lot of little lectures, you know, like lessons. And then they go through that doc. It's like a training. It's actually like a training. And at the end of it, they have to do like a quiz whether they understood a few things. And if they, you know, have like wrong answers, we pinpoint them and see what we can do and where the problem lays. But so I think it's you know, to save yourself time, it's very important to note down things that you don't want to be doing because you can spend your time elsewhere. You know, I just gave my one of my girls a task about how to upload a blog post, and I was really happy that I already did that, like last year, that I made that video and I sent it to her and I said, can you please try it that way? And to know she's really amazing at improvising and stuff. So if there's something that's not exactly how it was 6 months ago, she'll probably fix it, right? So it's not a problem about outdating stuff.
Yeah. And that's the other thing. If you've got people on board who are really good and they begin to understand the task, eventually they'll understand the task better than you because they're doing it every single day and you're not anymore. And that's kind of the point of getting it off your plate, right? And at some point, you've got to trust them enough to say, can you please go and change the SOPs or the videos? I'm not, for example, I've got a podcast editor. He's actually American.
Exactly.
So this is not your classic outsourcing story, but I would encourage people not to get obsessed with any particular country or nationality either, because sometimes the best person for the task lives down the road. You know, I've got some tasks that I've got my business partner doing in helping me create. That's Rob Sleeth. He's a great, very intelligent guy, and he's helping me create an Amazon course. And you know, I'm paying him some money for the privilege. And you know what? He's going to be expensive because he's based in Britain. He's got high overheads. That doesn't matter because he's going to get the job done at a higher standard than anyone else. And I need to be putting a high quality course out there. And that's actually what really matters. So. My American podcast guy, both of them, Joe and Daniel, shout out guys, because Daniel will edit stuff and he put together an entire Airtable, which is another form a bit less complicated than Asana, which works for me as a way of tracking our tasks with the podcast. And he was the one who created it. I didn't even tell him to. He said, oh, by the way, I've done this. What do you think? I said, fantastic. And then Joe has been saying, well, you know, I have these skills, but I think you get more bang for your buck if you use me to do this, not that. And he'd already caught where I was personally thinking as well. I said to him, great, go do it. Charge me by the hour, do 5 hours, and then come back to me. So if you've got really great staff with good initiative, they'll eventually tell you how to run your business, which is just amazing. I love that. Do you have that kind of experience as well?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I have four team leaders, me included, okay, so three, that stepped up, you know, that thought outside of the box, which is why they're the team leaders on my team. The other ones, they're not, you know, worse, obviously, but they have other, you know, like priorities, or they do other things, because at Denita, nobody works full time. It's more like, you know, 2 hours a day at most. And so these girls are just like, okay, we're in this. We want to get this, you know, stuff done. And thus they decided to, you know, for example, my podcast girl, she's amazing at researching podcasts and everything. And my skill would be English. And this is why I do, you know, I reread her English kind of outreaches, because she does put together little snippets of how to outreach to people. And I really like that, because she thinks about things that I never thought about, and which is pretty amazing. And she always loves to listen to podcasts, and not that much of a podcast person, honestly. So then I can go over her English introduction and stuff, and put my own heart into it, like what I was going to say.
And that's very interesting. You just raised another point, which is if you find somebody who's naturally into a certain area and you're not, but your business needs to be into it, that's the perfect solution. I mean, coming back to Amazon sellers, if you're not really into researching the exact kind of fluffy toys that women are buying for small children, for example, I mean, that's very specific for Christmas, but your business needs to know that, you really need to hire somebody to do that, because you're left to your own devices. You're not going to do it. You're just not into it. I wouldn't be into that, but I could relate to the fact that, you know, this person's obsessed with this stuff anyway. I might say to them, you know what, you're already doing this stuff already. How about I pay you for, you know, 5 hours a week to start with, and then review, and you go and do your research, and you come back with a list of possible types of products that you think are going to kill it this quarter. And then we're going to go and look at the numbers. And, you know, that's a great use of people. In other words, you follow what people naturally do anyway.
Yes. Or for example, one of my, you know, like the main assistant that I have that I work with a lot is Michaela. And we co-founded like a listing kind of company, because so many people ask for listings and, you know, translations and stuff like that. And then, you know, one of her tasks is to go to through Facebook, like the groups, and see if there's anywhere we can help, you know, with our knowledge. And on the way, she also finds her clients, because she's doing, you know, I'm paying her to do, look around, and then she's like, oh, I found somebody. So, you know, it's really comes in handy. And that's just luck, I guess. But these kind of tasks make people, you know, grateful that they're paid for them.
Yeah, I mean, you could say, for example, if you find a sourcing agent in China who's also mad about, you know, organic, I don't know, I'm trying to think of obscure things like, you know, supplements or something. That's probably not a good one, for example, in China, but is obsessed with any type of product. I can't think of one offhand. And they do their research on that and give you potential products to sell. That's going to benefit them because down the line, they're going to get sourcing work from you to find suppliers of these products. But also it benefits you because you get a whole... a rather obsessed person's insider view of a market that you couldn't be bothered to research. So again, it comes down to being smart enough that if you've got staff that are doing stuff that have ideas that could help you, even if it doesn't come from you, to just be humble enough to go, you know what, I didn't think of this. That's not why I hired you, but actually that could really work. Give it a go.
Or for example, one of my girls, she loves the products that her seller, you know, produces. And she, first of all, she asked him if she could maybe test one, and he sent it just over to her. And she's like, oh my God, it's amazing, right? And now she's at the point where she says, I want this to be sold in German supermarkets. And he said, okay. And she asked if she could try. And he said, yeah, if you pull it off, I'll give you a percentage. So it's perfect. You know, like she's super crazy about that. And now she loves the product and she really wants to think these things to be sold. And so he only has like benefits from sending her like one free thing. And I'm not sure if he's going to pay her for that, but I don't think so because it's more like, well, give it a shot. Either you can pull it off or you can't. So...
I think initiative and imagination are far too rare in the sort of Amazon e-commerce space. Everyone wants the magic tools. But the other thing to say is if you're the business owner, but you don't have that much imagination, or even if you do, but in certain things and not others, again, it comes down to the humility of knowing that you're not great at certain stuff. I'm like, I'm never going to be into sort of certain types of clothing or something. So if I ever wanted to sell in that, I'd be mad not to hire somebody who's obsessed with that kind of clothing because I'm not going to personally ever know anything about it. You know, I remember working with some guy we were both blokes and working in the jewelry sector, and he for some reason got into it because his Chinese business partner had access to a jewelry factory and various sound business reasons. But the fact remained that neither of us had a clue about the jewelry. And I said to him, look, you know, if you want to work with me, I just want to be very clear that I know nothing about women's jewelry. And sooner or later, if your business is going to thrive, you need to get somebody on board who is that person.
And, that also happens a lot, especially I observed that in the Amazon business that, you know, people are just in it for the money and people can smell it. You know, you just go out there and you're like, oh yeah, I just founded an agency and we can do everything. Then I actually asked one of them, why do you do it? And he said, I want to make money. And then he asked me, what do you do it? And I said, I'm doing it to empower women, you know, on my team to be, you know, self-employed and location independent. And, you know, this is a very different why. And also I'm doing it so, you know, all these Amazon sellers can get their business forward. And my why is never making money. That is a result. That is not my why. And so, as you said, you have to be obsessed. And I'm very obsessed with the fact that I want people, you know, I want to save them time and I want to empower them. And that's, you know, my why and my obsession, I guess.
Yeah, that's excellent. And, the thing is that there's no conflict between making money and really enjoying the process. On the contrary, if you're just motivated by money, I think, you know what, when people say that, it's never the whole story anyway. I think normally when you dig a bit deeper, what that means is I hate my day job and I want to quit it because I think that's going to make my life better. And actually, my response to that is it isn't. If you hate what you're selling and you're bored, your life's going to be much worse, even if the numbers work, which they probably won't, because as you said, people will smell. You know, if you're just about money, people sense it. Whereas if, you know, in your case, the passion you have for creating standard operating procedures and do it is palpable. You're very just into this. You just are. And that comes across. And of course, yeah, some people will give you money for that because they feel that they trust you because you're good at this. But the starting point is your passion for staff. You're clearly passionate about empowering your staff and a very intelligent and sophisticated, emotionally intelligent approach to people, which, as I say, because mostly I speak to guys, unfortunately, then that's quite rare. For you, it's probably just common sense. So I think that's a really powerful powerful place to begin to wrap that up, because I love that message that you're giving. You've got a little thing called the Freundschaftsdienst you're going to talk about. Now, I know enough German to know that, well, I mean, my German's fairly fluent on one level, because that means an obligation that you have to friends or something like that. But what is this all about? What are you offering us? Translate into English.
Okay, so Freund means friend, and Dienst is like something you do, you know, but out of good heart in that kind of context. So basically what I thought about was, we have all of these girls who are really good at what they do, and I want to, as I said, empower them to do more, and not just be stuck with me, you know. So the Freundschaftsdienst is about like an email list of all of my girls and other people I've come to know, you know, along the line. And if you are searching for an assistant that can do high quality work, then you can drop us a message and tell us what you're looking for, you know, how many hours a week you'll need help. And then we will send that message to all of our girls. And if we find somebody, we're going to charge you $35 as of now, because, you know, the whole process of talking to them, sending, you know, the whole communication between them costs money also, you know. But this is like the thing, when you get together, it's no longer me in between. It's just them and you, and you can see if you get along. And I think that's, you know, and some people say, why would you ever do that? You know, you can make money off this. And then I say, well, I didn't teach them how to speak Italian. I didn't teach them how to, you know, edit podcasts. I have no idea what this is. So I am making money. Honestly, I'm making money off things I trained them to do. And I think that is honest and that is real. But I don't want them to go off into the world and work like 10 hours a week with their Italian skill. I get like 60% of that. Because it's, you know, only because somebody came to me first. And so I think if you're searching for somebody who's doing great work, and apart from customer service, obviously, because that's my day job, then you can ask whether we have somebody.
Okay, so just to clarify what you're offering, I mean, it sounds like a very generous offer. So you're basically saying you have a list of really competent assistants, many of whom are your staff, but not working full-time for you, yes. A couple of hours a day, you said. And mm-hmm. So the main thing you offer is customer service. So you're not going to be offering that for free, which is fair enough, because you built a massive expertise in that, and it is very important. But apart from customer service, you can basically send an email or some form of contact. We'll talk about that in a second, what that is. What you're looking for, what skill set, for example, I don't know what you're saying, SEO, for example, and how many hours. And then basically, if you find somebody, you're going to charge $35. And then after that, you're out of the equation. You're not taking any more money at all.
Yes.
Amazing. Well, so how do we access such an extraordinary offer? We send an email. Have you got a special offer for amazing FBA listeners? What's the deal?
Well, okay. So the deal would be to drop us a message at inida.de/Freundschaftsdienst, right? And I'm going to send you the link shortly, because, you know, it's a German word. And it was only meant for Germans, but all of my girls are fluent in English, so it shouldn't be a problem. And then you just write down what you need and send us the email. Sometimes you don't have anybody. That happens. But then, you know, whatever. You don't have to pay for that. Yeah. So it's fine. And if you find somebody, and if you mention, you know, this podcast, then we get you, you know, like a discount of, let's say, like 20%. I don't really mind. That it's not really not about the money. It's about, you know, empowering the girls to do more, to get, you know, like a grip on, you know, just being self-employed on their own. Because this way, honestly, this way I keep them, right? Because they want to stay with us if we help them, and we're not restraining them and taking them away all the time from opportunities.
Makes a lot of sense. sounds pretty amazing. So I mean, yeah. So basically, let's engineer this. Let's say that if you go to amazingfba.com/ Nadine E. This is going to be, I've got to spell this out again. N for November, A D I N for November, E E. as an egg or something. Yes. An Dean E. And I'm sorry to be confusing, guys, but I'm trying to be consistent so that if you want to go to any podcast and find one of our interviewees, it's just their first name, then the initial of their last name. So if you go there, we'll make sure there's a sign up place. Nadine, is there an email they could also write to as an alternative, just as a backup plan?
Of course. You can just send it to hello@inida.de.
Yeah.
And just make sure that you say what this is about, that how many hours you need somebody for, and, you know, like skill set and stuff like that. But that's basically it. And
Inida, sorry, just to check the spelling, is E-N-I-D-A. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, great. So, sorry to cut you off there, but I just want to make sure we people have access. It sounds like an incredible offer. I mean, basically, it's a no-brainer because the worst-case scenario is they send you a request and you look into it and then you say, sorry, we can't help you. It's costing you nothing. Best-case scenario is it costs you $35, as in US dollars, I presume. And
Euros.
Well, it makes a little difference, let's face it. And then you actually get access to a fantastic member of staff. So that's like an amazing deal. Thank you so much for your generosity. And 20% off in addition, I mean, it's practically a steal. So I hope that people have the common sense to follow up on that. Clearly, from everything you said, you have created an incredible internal culture in your organization, and you have just going through your passion for SOPs and Google Sites and exactly how well trained you've got it, how structured it is. It's obvious that people are going to get very, very good quality service from you if they use Inida for customer service. So just obviously we ought to make sure you don't go out of business by giving everything away free. How do people actually get hold of you if they want customer service in German? And is it just German that you offer, or is it other languages now?
It's English and German because we've never had a problem with Spanish, French, or Italian.
Yeah.
Even though people are always like, Amazon says whatever, because we can use Google Translate if you want us to, but honestly, I cannot give you a girl that speaks five languages and give you the same price. You know, I can multiply it by four, by five, and we're talking, but this is not happening. So you can go to our website and look at what we do. We have like a monthly fee for checking your email every 24 hours, like the buyer messages. No, on the Amazon Seller Central. We do it for Germany, for the US, for Canada, for, Europe, no problem. So we basically do it all. We can't speak Japanese just yet, but I haven't gotten a request about that. So I'm fairly certain that this is not an issue. And so you can hire us for this, and the fee changes according to how many, countries you want us to cover with the buyer messages. And then we also, take care of your negative reviews. We find the order number of the customer, reach out to them privately. Then we send replacements. We make refunds. We do seller feedback. And all of these things are built by actions. So basically one message is, an action that costs between 190 and 230, like euros in euro. And then it's more like, one, two, three, four, five actions. And at the end of the month, we'll bill you. And that system has been, going on for 2 years. It's really reliable, very simple. Because some girls are faster than others, and you never pay more because they took longer.
Yeah, it's a fantastically simple system as well, because I was doing a load of work running somebody's Amazon account for a few months recently, and that was a lot of work. It just reminds me just how much goes into this business. But also, I was doing customer service stuff, and I really, really wanted to outsource it, but I was looking at something where there was a minimum 10-hour requirement, and it wasn't really going to work for me to outsource that. But if it's by action rather than by hour or minimums, that's an incredibly easy sell, because then if nothing happens, you don't pay anything. And if you've got a load of problems that come in while you're sunning yourself in the Bahamas and your Amazon business is still going to keep working, then it costs a bit more because you're doing more. That just makes so much sense. So I think it's a very sensible way of doing it.
I want to mention one more thing that's like crucial. That's the difference between us and virtual assistants, is that we have vacation and holiday and sick leaves, replacements. So you'll never have to deal with the fact that the girl is sick, or she doesn't have internet, she's on a plane, she's on Christmas holiday. it's never again going to be your problem, because at the end of the line, it is my problem, you know. But I have like 12 girls who jump all over. So that's the first one. The second step is team leaders who will jump in on the weekends or whatever happens. And then there is me, you know, like at the end of the line with the personal call, they call me and say, Nadine, I need help. So we'll fix it.
That's so you have like a plan A, a plan B, a C, D, and you have at least a plan A, B, and C, which is fantastically reassuring, as we were talking about in our first episode, right? You always have a plan B. So that, again, that's really reassuring. Very, very important as well, because I had, funnily enough, somebody of, I think, sort of mix of German and I'm not even sure, German, South African, and something else descent. It was in one of our masterminds for a while ago. Fantastic lady, and was very successful to the point where she's always pushing off abroad with her husband for 2 or 3 months, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. It's the digital dream, and she's living it. But the problem is, of course, then you've got to trust somebody with customer service. And she did have some pretty bad experiences. So you do want to make sure that the person you put in there is very expert in that area, that they have training, that they have somebody supervising them, that you have a redundancy. So if they go off sick or whatever, that somebody else replaces them. So that's a really, yes, you are going to be a real godsend to the people who've really got a business going and just need to just free them up from that constant need to log in every 24 hours, which is quickly gets very, very boring. I mean, I really resented it when I was running somebody else's account and doing, you know, running somebody else's account particularly, but even with your own accounts. I've just got to that point where, yeah, it was just not a good feeling to be tied to doing such a boring little task, which 90% of the time there's nothing that needs doing, and then 10% of the time you have to act immediately or your business is at risk. And that's when somebody else is doing it, is just a real godsend. Very, very good value for money. So I'd encourage anyone who's got a significant business up and running to definitely check out that resource. Very, very good way to clear the rubbish out of your head and the worry, and know that it's taken care of. And also, many thanks, Nadine, for your fantastic, really grounded, really common sense, really based on actual experience about how to build a team. And most importantly, I think, really, especially from this episode, how to keep a team and how to keep it a really vibrant, fantastic place to be. So, excellent stuff. Thank you so much for coming on to share your wisdom.
Yeah, thank you as well for having me. It's been a pleasure as always.
Thank you very much. Very gracious of you. Thank you very much. Bye-bye. That's it. Thank you so much for your attention. I really appreciate it. Now, over to you. First, 80-20 everything. Learn the critical few. Maybe there's one thing in this podcast that can make all the difference. Find that thing. 20% of inputs, give 80% of the outputs. Which are the critical few for you? Then take action. Imperfect action beats perfect inaction every single time. Finally, and not least, review. If you've made mistakes, learn from them. If you've made a success, duplicate it. You can't do that unless you look back. So in summary, learn the critical few, then do, then review. And then, my friend, it's up to you. That's it. Thank you so much for your attention. Speak to you in the next episode.